Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in One offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, AG, you're back on mute, baby. We're back on My Block Podcast, Backers Podcast.
Yes, I am.
We're gonna get this
on
one
mute
here, man. I'm your host. I'm your co-host, Michael, along with Packers all-time leading rusher Amon Green. He's back off mute. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, I gotta remember that you put me on mute when it switches to the intro part of it.
Hey,
so,
don't
yeah.
put this on me. Don't you put this on me. No, don't you that to me, Ricky Bobby.
No.
Don't you put that on my children.
I didn't do it. I gotta remember that.
That's a StreamYard.com deal. I should have told you. You got me talking about women's basketball again, and I got all fired up and I forgot.
You got me seeing red.
It's my fault.
Yep.
We gotta give props to men's and women's basketball tournament right now. You can get all your betting needs fulfilled at betonline.ag. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your college basketball betting this season. Get your analysis of every play, prop, and point at BetOnline. You'll find the latest odds, bracket contests, team matchups, and game trends at BetOnline. Updated odds from everything from live games, the conference championships, right through to the Final Four and the championship game. So BetOnline is your college basketball headquarters this season. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Be sure to use our promo code BELIEV, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your bonus. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. AG, there's some stuff going on in college basketball. Maybe we'll hit it at the end, but let's talk these Packers, man, because we're sitting here. We talked about it from last week. Okay, we are where we are with the Rodgers trade. We're in limbo.
Yep.
There's a bunch of rumors coming out. We could talk about it a little bit, but we've talked about what they've done so far. They added a long snapper and a backup safety / special teams player.
That's it.
We haven't improved from a draft perspective. We've lost a couple of players. We've re-signed Keyshawn Nixon, thank goodness. But what are we actually doing to improve this roster? And I know everyone's saying, "Well, we don't have that money in free agency." Dude, for everybody out there, please stop hitting me up on Twitter telling me we don't have any money. Because we have enough money to sign second and third tier free agents that are still contributors in this league for 1 year deals, 2 year deals. We saw it with Gardner Johnson signing a one. There's two safeties this year, big time safeties signing $8.5 million, $1 year deals. Tight ends signing 1 year deals.
Jalen Ramsey was floating around there before he got signed.
Yeah, there you go.
So he was affordable.
It's possible. AG, why are we not doing anything?
Obviously, the history of the Packers not to do a whole lot. You know, Gutekunst is a disciple of Ted Thompson, so maybe he's using his philosophy of just, you know, develop within and then grab when we need to. You know, when I mean, when I said, when I mean grab, I mean sign somebody that we really need to. But I'm like, there is a lot of need positions, you know, out there for this team's roster. And so not doing anything, and the market right now is getting dry in terms of players that are going to be really quality players that you really want on your roster. So you got to, if they were going to pull a trigger and nail somebody right now, they should have did it like 2 weeks ago, basically, because right now it's going to be like, it's going to be even lesser tier players that are not as the quality as they should to be a starter. It'll be more backup players than coming in right in on, you know, as a starter right away.
No doubt. No doubt. And the thing that is, so for fans out there, when you're a player, you're sitting like this. If I don't get signed on day one, like I went through this twice. Mm-hmm. If I don't sign on day one or two or free agency, this is before the tampering period and everything, but so we project that however you want. But if you don't get signed on day one or two, you know that that payment is going down. Literally, you would almost feel it by the hour. You can feel your wallet getting smaller.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? Because the teams that are going to spend money are spending money, and now everyone's they'll let everything settle after a week, and you'll have mm-hmm. the second wave of guys. But we're not experiencing anything. I don't even know if they've had visits. Like, we don't really know. But, AG, I'm going to run some names by you because there's positions of need that we've talked about. We don't know when Sean O'Gary's coming back. We need another rush edge, run game defend play, like a defensive player on the edge. So it could be a backup guy. It could be a pass rush specialist. It could be a situational specialist, right? We don't need a starter. We need a quality backup that can help add depth to that room, have some leadership, veteran leadership on the entire defense as a whole. Listen to these names, bro.
Yeah.
Guess who's out there? Bud Dupree, 30 years old, outside linebacker coming off Tennessee Titans. Wow. Good player, started with the Steelers.
Solid player.
Leonard Floyd, Los Angeles Rams. Ooh, not linebacker. One of my like favorite players, but good player. Outside mm-hmm. linebacker, 30 years mm-hmm. old. Yep. Frank Clark, defensive end.
Oh, wow. Super Bowl championship. Two-time Super Bowl champion.
Now, yeah, 29 years old. He'll probably re-sign with the Chiefs for less, but like, take a flyer. Hey, Frank, you want to come up and check this place out? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here's my no-brainer. I don't care how old he is. This dude, I'm telling you, this dude scares offensive linemen. Melvin Ingram just spent a year in Miami. He's been going 1 year deals for the last 2 years. He's 33 years old. He is exactly what you need. He is a guy that if you bring off the bench, he'll be happy to do it at 33. Situational mm-hmm. pass rusher. He is an absolute nightmare for right tackles. He's a nightmare for left tackles as well. But you just think about skill set wise, this guy is an absolute nightmare in the rush game. Mm-hmm. He immediately bolsters your defensive line, your pass rush ability. You can stand him up. You can run 3-man games with him and Rashawn Gary. You can put it if you want to keep Rashawn on the edge. If you have a specific guy you want him to target, you can mm-hmm. still run your three defensive ends in nickel because this guy can line up anywhere. It's one of those deals where he might be waiting until go through the offseason programs because he doesn't want to do them. But it's such a no-brainer. Right. I mean, AG, I'll just ask you, do any of those guys look like players that would help bolster the Green Bay Packers?
All of them. I mean, all of them. You know, having
I forgot one more.
Okay.
27-year-old Yannick Ngakoue.
Oh, wow.
Ngakoue's out there. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, the one of the names on that list that really jumps out to me is Ingram. It's like that guy, when he was everywhere he goes, he makes that defense better. Not just a little bit better, because what he does is, like you said, he could do so many different things. He's a hand in the ground guy. He could stand up. He could even go cover the flat if you need him to. He'll do it. He has the ability. He has the athletic flexibility, all that in the hips, what we look at to make sure, you know, to know this is a good defensive player, or this is just a good athlete all around, and he wants to help his team wherever he's at do their job defensively. So that's the one guy I've seen ever since he was with the Chargers, and then he was with the Chiefs, and you know, so going around those teams and being around those people, he then gained experience and then also, you know, leadership qualities from being in those different places.
Yeah, no doubt. And the thing here is, it's not going to be that expensive. I mean, we're talking about the scope of things. Yep. And even if you're like, I just did a thing on defensive ends. Even if you're in love with Will Anderson Jr. is the only surefire guy in this draft. I think for me, Miles Murphy, the kid out of Clemson, is going to be really, really mm-hmm. good. But he's everybody except for Will Anderson Jr. Like, there's no Trayvon Walker, which I wasn't as high on as other people, but and Aiden Hutchinson, like 1-2 in the draft. Like, those guys aren't here. Mm-hmm. And so, and the Packers aren't in a position to get him. Even if they got the 13th pick, they're just going to move up two spots. Like, they're not going to get him, right? So,
no.
if you're looking at a defensive end hive, because edge rusher is a premium position, you're looking at a guy, whether it's Miles Murphy, whether it's a kid from Texas Tech, Tyree Wilson, whether it's of course everybody likes the kid from Iowa. I'm not, the kid from Iowa is going to be okay, but like he didn't even start in Iowa, right? Lucas Van Ness.
Right.
So all those guys are projects, right? I just call him Mini Campman because he looks like Aaron Campman to me. But but they're all projects. They're not guys that are going to come in and have like Aiden Hutchinson type years. So if you want a guy that can fill in the gap, dude, I mean, literally any one of those guys would be good. I mean, Frank Clark's a no-brainer. Yannick's a no-brainer. Melvin Ingram's, to me, Melvin Ingram's like, I would love to have him on my football team if I was still playing. So I got more guys for you in some other positions. So we look at center. We look at possibly right tackle. Like we need
that's a necessity.
Maybe another other guy. And I'm not saying again, I'm not giving up on Josh Myers, but
no, these are guys who, like you said, be backups.
There's somewhere along the line where you have to, that offensive line needs to change, but at least one position.
Right.
I don't know if it's center. I don't know if it's right. But there's one position needs to change. Something needs to give. Right. They need to improve.
Mm-hmm.
So Rodney Hudson, I know he's 33 years old, but you want to bring in a guy to mentor Josh Myers? Pay Rodney Hudson to mentor Josh Myers. Hey,
there you go.
Listen, you want to start 6 games this year, 16 games, depending on how you feel. Like, we don't think you're going to be able to play a full season, but come in, we'll pay you $4 or $5 million. You mentor this kid, because Rodney Hudson in his heyday, he's 33 now. In his heyday, he was the truth now. He was a hell of a good lineman, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He plays exactly the way you want guys to play, physical, through the whistle. George Fant, right tackle, played for the Jets last year. He's had some injuries. He'll probably go back to New York. But Fant's a guy, when he was in Seattle, he's a good athlete. He's a guy that in this system is going to have some success. Gabe Jackson played with Seattle last year. He'll probably re-sign, but if he doesn't, there's another name where you go, you could plug him at right guard, move some guys around. You could probably – John Runyon Jr. can play center.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You just start thinking outside the box a little bit.
Yep.
There are some dudes out there that can really help this football team. And then the other one we talk about, AG, is the safety position. And there's a ton of safeties. Honestly, Adrian Amos is probably, of the guys remaining, he's probably one of the top two guys, but it looks like he's not going to come back. But if you want a guy, if you want to just change the narrative a little bit and bring in a dude who's just a thumper, Keanu O'Neill, he started out with Atlanta
and now
Tampa Bay. He's a free agent. He's like 27 years old. This dude, he's like 235,
240
pounds. He's a monster.
Good gracious.
Yeah, he was having stuff on him when I was doing some stuff with Atlanta. He is an he can hit, right? There's maybe some coverage limitations, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe
because of his size. Yeah, he's a little heavier.
But you just look at it and go, okay, if we want to play this too, but we want guys to be able to come down. Like, we have to tackle alley, like be alley tacklers, like we've talked about ad nauseum on this program.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy. I mean, there's guys available, because at 15 right now, what you're staring down the barrel of, who's the difference maker at 15 that you're going to plug and play right now? At this, safety is tough to plug and play at 15, right? Because you're not going to get one of the top two guys. Defensive end, we just talked about. Offensive line, offensive line is probably the one place where you can pick up a guy and put him at right tackle and start right now.
Yeah. I mean, you got to have these positions filled in, because you don't want to be asking that question to yourself come the regular season. And so you got to sit now, pull that trigger, find people that's going to, if it's a cultural thing, if you got to talk to them, get them in to talk to them. I'm looking at the guy's a little bit older. Another guy that's an offensive lineman, has a lot of experience, been with good teams, the Rams and Buffalo, Robert Saffold. That's another good guy. I mean, he's older.
I love him. He's just, to me, I think he was 34 years old. So
he's older. I mean, he's older, but he does bring in a lot of experience.
And he's won.
He's won. Exactly. That experience of being in those organizations. And I know him personally, and he's a hard offseason worker. So he's one of those guys right now. I know we're going to get into it a little bit about training in the offseason, but he's a guy right now, he's not on a roster right now, but he will be getting himself ready just when that time comes.
When you're looking at that right now, throw out some tight end names as well, because I'm sitting here thinking they have to be thinking about the Oregon State kid in the first round. They have to be thinking about the Oregon State kid in the first round. Otherwise, I really have no idea who's going to play tight end for this football team.
No. They got guys that are available. You got Cameron
Brate, Jeff Swain.
Dan Arnold.
Guess who? Mercedes.
Is still, Yeah, he's still there.
Yeah, there's no guys out there where you're like, man, I can't. I'm going to build my
Irv Smith Jr. and he's young.
Yeah, so Irv might be the best guy out there, but I'm not going to build the room around any of those guys. Like, so
correct.
He's going to be that's going to have to be the draft pick, you know. And now you're thinking, we didn't even talk about maybe the most important position in the room. If Aaron Rodgers is gone, who's your backup quarterback?
Right now they're sitting
Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, yeah. Teddy Bridgewater. Those are three names of guys that are out there. I wouldn't bring any of them in. I might bring. I never know about Teddy Bridgewater because his career started off so good and he had a horrific injury.
Yeah, the knee injury and then.
But he seems like the only guy there.
Last few years, yeah.
Yeah, but so he seems like the only guy's got his. I mean, Carson Wentz has some issues about playing that go beyond just talent, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Matt Ryan he would be a great coach. He's not. You don't want him. You don't want to have to rely on him to win a game anymore. And so Teddy, I just need to know because is it concussions? How's the health? Everything? But you always thought he was going to be a real competent player in the league. I know his career hasn't gone how he wanted it to after that injury. Mm-hmm. But of those guys, there's just again, there's not a ton of guys sitting out there where you go, I feel really good about. Because for fans out there, AG, like, let's talk about this. You were lucky to have a lot of players, former players, as coaches.
Yes,
I think that makes a huge difference. Okay, huge. I didn't have that. Right. And so you have to look players. You learn more from other players than you ever are going to learn from a coach
all day.
So if you don't have these guys, especially if you're young, you've never quarterback position, like if you're tight end position, center, if you're young and you don't have that guy, dude, it's a really, really hard road to plow from learning the intricacies of your game. Unless you got that player coach, which you had.
Yeah. I mean, that player coach brings in the actual experiences being on the field in the same positions that we're in, basically situation of having to pick up a linebacker in the A-gap, what type of footwork you need and what type of hand placement you need to do, catching routes, catching screen balls, you know, running routes against linebackers that are you trying to figure out coverage on the run. Is he man? Is he zone? And how you set that up to find it out, you know, sooner than later. And also just, you know, having Edgar have those conversations with me. I know I had an older coach too, that coach Walter Payton, for a year that we had in Green Bay early when I first got there. I just can't think of his name right now, but still him always referring back to when he was coaching Walter and what Walter did and showing that. And that was a guy I idolized too, but hearing those conversations, having those conversations just gives you the insight because you know it's coming from a reliable source. So you know they got that is real hands-on experience that is truth to what every word is coming out their mouth.
I had this conversation with my kid last weekend about something, you know, we were talking about a different sport, but it's the same idea. You know, the value you have to your team ultimately is going to go as far as you can win your confrontational matchup with your opponent, right? Like you can be a good teammate, you can kind of fill a role, but like if you want to be a good player, if you want to have a role no matter what, then your value is only as good as your ability to beat the guy in front of you, right? So you have to beat that linebacker. I got to beat that defensive tackle, whatever it is. And so the more information you can gather that is very specifically intertwined with how to do that, the better off you're going to be. And that's what a player can give you on the, you know, it's like the conversation when you're kneeling down, you got your helmet on the ground on the sideline in training camp. And I'm asking Frank Winters, like, how do you deal with Adam Timmerman? How do you deal with this? You know, Mike Flanagan, what safety are you looking at when they roll coverage? Like that information, you're not necessarily just going to get in the classroom, and the intimacy of it is just a different deal. And that's why having some of these veteran guys in the room is so huge for a young Green Bay Packers team.
Yeah, it is. And because they're a young team that's going to be, as everybody says, resetting that whole team because of the big changeover that's about to happen.
Speaking about that, offseason program is going to start in April.
Yep.
So to take it back, we didn't have offseason programs when you and I started, at least in Green Bay, maybe it's because they were living, you know, nobody wanted to live in Green Bay. I'm not really sure, but
yeah,
back then there was,
they had a little something, you know, Bloke was around, you could check in with
him. You could come in, but it wasn't like this voluntary mandatory, right? There wasn't OTAs. There was a 3-day mini camp, another 3-day mini camp, an 8-day mini camp, and you were out. That was it. Right. There was no, you know, 2.5 months of OTAs. You're there for 3-4 hours a day. You got to meet with your coaches half the time. It's just like if you wanted to be there and you wanted to work out, you go work out. talk right. to Rubes, talk to Bloke, run out the gate, right? Go play basketball if you want to.
Yep.
There's none of this, like, go sit in the classroom, go through, study the playbook, all this, whatever's going on now. So one thing that happens now, especially in social media, and I do think there's a ton of value to it. So I want to kind of get off the idea that I don't think it's valuable, but
mm-hmm.
high school, college in particular, like that training together, dude, I am 100% about that, right? It yes. forms a bond. It like does. Guys are pushing each other really hard. But I think what people don't understand when you get to the pro level, guys aren't pushing themselves that hard. A lot of guys aren't.
Yeah.
And like the difference between like if I went back to the Naval Academy and we had to go through Phil Emery's off-season training and then you did anything that goes in the National Football League, I'm just talking from an intensity standpoint and what right. you're putting into it. And like the fact they have puke buckets next to the squat racks, like that's the yeah. life that you're living in college. Yep. That's not the life you're living here. So a lot of guys, like we talked about last year, KJ Osborne, go down to the House Athlete and they want to train with guys that are going to train at that intensity level all the time. Cause they know that's how they're going to get a leg up on the competition. Exactly. But all these teams want their players at the facility. So like, how do you navigate that? And it does, you know, as you go into that as, you know, as a rookie, as a veteran, yeah. as a star, as a role player, what do you do?
I say now what you do, you got to realize one or two things. You know, if you're a high round draft pick, you got to look at, okay, yeah, I got drafted first, second round, and I played a lot this year, or I was, you know, even though I wasn't a starter, or if I was a starter, you got to look at going into your offseason and say this to yourself. Okay, where do I want to be next year? Do I want to be – if I wasn't starting, do I want to be the guy? You got to ask yourself that. And basically the answer should be yes. So then you got to look at what's going to be the best scenario for me to become that person, because I already knew what I, you know, did before the draft, training, you know, for the combine. If it was, you know, most of my years before that was training with my teammates in college, was that it? And then – realized that was it, because that was got me better. And that's what I remember working out here in the summers in Nebraska. I pretty much tried to simulate that where I was doing my combine training out in California, but doing it with multiple people there. And then every offseason, once I got drafted, that's what I was always trying to get back to that feeling of being around a bunch of guys. I came back to Nebraska a few times in the offseason. And then once I got to Green Bay, I just was doing it on my own, but I was trying to push myself, but it's still that one element missing. Not having guys around me all the time, you know, that I knew that were like pushing ourselves to that higher level, basically.
It's hard.
It's hard. It's really hard
because there's a lot of pressure. And like the narrative, I mean, listen, the narrative makes sense from the team perspective. They're like, hey man, like we pay your salary. We want, you know, you're a member of this team. Mm-hmm. So you can go into like, oh, it's about team buying. It's about team. And I'm here to say like, it's really not. Because yeah. if it's about that, then, you know, like, for example, I think Jordan Love is sending or all these guys are going to go work out with Jordan Love in California. I find there's a much more that's much more valuable than them going and having to work out under the guise of the coaching staff and being in the it's they're away from the facility. They're in their own element. They can be themselves. They can talk things through. They can have some nuances ironed out, right? Without mm-hmm. any interaction with anybody else. I think that is super valuable. They're committed to it. I love that, right? That's yep, what we used to do. There was a handful of us in Vegas, different teams. We would be working out, training with each other, training against each other, doing one-on-one reps, all off season. And like, I've never gotten more out of off seasons than mm-hmm. when I went away, learned something new from somebody else, worked extremely hard, had a good training partner, but also had these other guys coming in and out, young people, fresh blood, people working mm-hmm. hard, that environment, college environment, going after it. You can get so much out of that because, again, we always talk about like what is the human capacity? What is our ceiling?
Yep.
And to your point, what you really have to ask yourself is, am I giving myself the opportunity to be the best version of me?
To get better.
Right. Yep. This is a hard statement. And a lot of GMs would be pissed at me for saying this. But if that answer is not at the facility, then you got to go find out where it is.
Exactly.
And there's a handful of places that might be that way. But for the places that aren't, man, if it's not there, because if you're not good enough, they're going to find a new you.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So you got to make sure that you're the best version of you, and you can deal with all the other stuff however you have to, but you got to show up in training camp, not in offseason. You don't win a job in the offseason. Nah. You got to show up in training camp in the best version of yourself.
Yeah,
you
got to be ready to go, hitting on all cylinders.
I remember I went to a bunch of every offseason I'd go to a different place for a week at least, right? And I'd try something new.
Right.
And I remember, dude, I just was my
so what
first,
did you do?
Well, my first year in Carolina, after the first year, like Trane is pregnant. And we bring in this kid, Evan Mathis. He's from Alabama.
Yeah.
And Evan turned out to be an all pro, but he had like a career that kind of he was like a journeyman for like 6 years, and then he got under the right coach. He found the right team and the right coach.
Correct.
That embraced what he was, and he was two-time all pro. Like, he was an amazing career, right?
Yeah.
But he came in, and like, this dude was the strong, he was the most freakish athlete I've ever seen. And this is when I was like as strong as I've ever been, right?
Right.
And so we're lifting.
I think I met him once.
We start lifting together and everything. And he swears by this dude, Chad Ike, out in Arizona.
Right.
So I'm like, after this year, and like, I'm all pro that year. The year's good for me, right? Yeah. And I'm like, dude, where did you train last year? And so I go out to this place, and this dude's got like Adrian Wilson's in there jumping over 60-inch boxes.
Oh, the big safety.
Yeah.
I remember Adrian.
And I'm telling you, he's got guys from all over the country training. And it was one of those environments, man. You just like, you walked in and you immediately like got goosebumps. Because you just started recognizing guys just grinding out, but they're all pros in there, man. That's so much fun.
I would have loved that.
It's such a cool experience. Like, even if you take that down to the high school level, like if you're in high school and you're training with your team and you can go find a gym or some facility that's got like dudes from other high schools training, mm-hmm. like it doesn't matter what level you're at. Like, you want to go kind of see what everybody else is doing. And like, man, I'm going to top that. I can work harder than those guys. Like, I can test myself against these different people. Because you see the same thing every week. Like, sometimes you get numb.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good environment. As they say, iron sharpens iron, pretty much, in that world.
The other big thing about this offseason, brother, is we got this Aaron Rodgers deal.
Yeah.
It appears, we've kind of talked about all over, but it appears, one would think, that the draft is kind of a soft deadline, right? Because the sources are out now saying the Packers want a first round pick plus some other stuff.
Yes.
And the Jets aren't willing to do that. And so we're all assuming 2023 first round pick, 13th pick in the draft is what they're asking for.
Mm-hmm.
But that draft deadline, like, what happens? It's like in a month, right? And so the other suggestions out there are basically like, all right, the Jets should give up a second and then maybe a conditional third in 2024, depending on like if the Green Bay Packers go to the playoffs or not. Now you start looking at Brett's old deal, and Brett's old deal was a fourth, but it could go up to a second or a first if like they went deep into the playoffs. You see what I mean? So you can start, but it's all kind of pushed to the next season because like the Jets still need draft picks this year. It's not like the Jets are complete, like offensive line, for example, they need draft picks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Give up some of your talent. There's a bunch of guys. There's a bunch of young players. We brought up Jackson last year, or the kid from Florida State, the defensive end, the first round pick last year. There's a kid that, hey, let's second round pick in that kid. You get Aaron Rodgers. Like, to me, thank you very much. Done deal, right? But once they hit, AG, let's say they go to the draft and there's not a deal done. Who's got the leverage then? Like, what do you do now?
Ooh, man, who has the leverage then? I don't think it's a scenario that's gone down like this yet. I mean, probably I think back to like, I remember, Eli, he got drafted, but he didn't want to play for, what was it?
Chargers.
And so that's how he got to the Giants, stuff like that. So
yeah, his dad told him.
His dad was involved in that. So yeah, it just, man, who would have, I don't know. I would say, I mean, obviously, it would be somewhere between the teams, you know, either Packers or Jets, obviously. Aaron wouldn't have none because he's just actually – he's under the control of the guidelines of his contract, basically. And he's basically got to still be a Packer, you know, on top of that. So it's going to be interesting.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers, AG, he's got some sort of, I don't know if it's like official right of first refusal, but
right.
If Aaron Rodgers, if they draft, if they say, hey, you're going to the Patriots, or let's pick a worse team. Let's go. let's say you're going to the Bucks.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, I'm not. Like, they're not, that deal's not getting done, right?
No, it's not. And he has that. Yeah. And he has,
so he has a little bit of cachet here.
A little bit. So he has a little bit of leverage too. So because he's using it already, you know, to be in the situation he's in, saying he has the like, he wants to play for the Jets, period. Let's get this deal done. I'm not, you know, it's not my fault that we're not, you know, the deal's not done. That's what he's been saying for the last 2 weeks since he made his announcement. So, you know, so there's options out there for everybody. And so it's going to be interesting if that even gets that far. I mean, and that's another 30 days from now, 31 days from now. So that'll be interesting.
It sounds like they're
crazy.
It sounds like they're not even Alan Lazard came out and said, like, yeah, it's a big reason I came to the Jets. I can't wait. Yeah, I'm sure I have no problem. I'm sure he's going to get here.
Right.
The Jets have the 13th pick. They now have the 42nd and the 43rd pick. So that's second round. They have a fourth round pick, 112. And they got a fifth round pick. They got picks, right? They got a 13th. But basically, they got the 13th. And you got the 42nd, the 43rd. I think the Packers have like 45th, maybe 46, something like that. So you start looking at this and you go, okay, well, they're not – like, I just can't imagine they're giving up the 13th pick. I can't imagine that they give up a player that's highly regarded, a young player, which I think just, you know, sometimes you got to go, well, this guy's probably – maybe he was a first, he's worth a second now. Maybe he's a first, he's worth a first. I don't know. But you give up a player like that, maybe you give up the 42nd or 43rd pick in a compensatory pick the next year. You feel like this deal has to get done. I just wonder on draft day, the Packers are sitting at 15th. Their cupboard is bare. They've brought in nobody. They have way too many needs to fill given what they have for draft capital. Do you think they can trade for these players? Like, do you think something happens, or is it just, again, to me, the leverage goes back to the Jets now because you go, well, that ship sailed. What are you going to do now?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they're going to do anything. I believe they're doing what they're doing, nothing. And, and the draft is not going to change anything. And only thing that happens, will potentially happen is the Jets say, you know, all right, we'll take this, you know, from their point of view, just to get it done, to make sure they get Aaron. But I don't see Robert Saleh. I mean, his GM, I don't know, but Robert Saleh is not that guy. He's not going to just let somebody see him sweat. He's not intimidated. He's going to, you know, hold to his guard. He said, I think he made a comment, we're not in a hurry, you know, to make this deal happen. So in that sentiment, as a Packer organization, it's like, or, you know, Gutekunst and them crew making their decision, it's like, man, he'll just let this thing draw out in terms of from Robert Saleh's comments and his point of view. He's like, I'm in no rush.
It seems like it's this – I don't think it's a Saleh. I don't even think it's a Joe Douglas deal. Like, I think it's a Woody Johnson thing, thinking like, what am I going to do with this fan base if we don't get Aaron?
True.
And maybe he blinks. But again, soft deadline. It doesn't, to me, what are the Packers going to say? I guess we're not going to do a deal. Okay. Well, what are you going to do now?
Yeah. They ain't got no quarterback that wants to play. Well, the guy that they want to play doesn't want to play. He will not play. And so you still got to go with Love. Mm-hmm. And whoever you pick up, if you pick up anybody other than who they have in as a backup right now. So that's what the whole way hurry up and wait and see is
here's a really stupid thing for me to even say, but like what do the Jets do with Zach Wilson?
I mean,
do they trade him?
I would try to get him.
You can't trade him to Green Bay because he's probably more talented than Jordan Love, right? Like, he's going to have these moments
probably,
in practice.
Yeah,
he's going to have these moments in practice where guys are like, wait a second, this dude's unbelievable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you just got to talk. Like, you got to find out what's in his head. Like, what's going on in his head? Yeah. Because seeing him as a young player, he's acting like that off the field and even on the field. In press conference interview, when he made that comment that literally pissed every player off, even former players, you know, about, you know, not – caring about what the defense does or whatever he made a comment of, he has some learning. He's going through growing pains, basically. And he's learning the hard way. Does he have the talent to do why he got drafted? Yes, he does. But his mental has to get right. I say any player like that with the abilities that he has, because we all seen him play decent and pretty good, but his mental has to get where it's a professional, where he has to understand from the things he says to how he prepares for a game, all that has to be a certain standard and put it out and put it and do it every day. It has to be consistent, and not just because he's a first round pick and he's doing all the other stuff off the field with, you know, lifestyle and all that. That's where you got to fix that up first. And that's where, if I'm a player, you know, if he comes to the Packers, I'm a veteran, but hey, bro, we got to get this, get your shit cleaned up, because right now it's not. And if you're going to be a quarterback on this team, this is how quarterbacks from the past played. They played at a high level. They knew everything about the offense that they needed to know, and plus more. And then the talent would come out even better. So that's what for Zach, if he came for some crazy reason, he was part of this trade, that would be – he have to have that mindset coming in here to be successful.
So, you know what's funny, man? I was like, I 100% agree with everything you just said. And I also 100% think that you and I are dinosaurs and nobody would say that to him. You know right. what I mean? I just don't think that's how it is in this, like, this new reality. I think it'd be like, we're going to bring him in. We're going to love him. We're going to, you know, it's everything.
No.
And then they'll hold us. There's no hard, like, hey man, sit down. We're going to have a tough love discussion right now.
Exactly.
And then after that, it's all good. Like, I just don't know if that happens anymore. I want to believe it does, but I just don't know.
Me too. I want to believe it does. You know, I say if Mercedes Lewis is back on the team, it's going to happen.
That's
you
true.
Know, that's going to 100% happen, but we don't know if he's going to be back. So you got to have leaders like that. Even if they're young, they're there. You just got to find them. Hopefully you have them. But there's players that I've met. I mean, we know one, KJ Osborne. He's that guy. These players out there that have the same mindset as us, that means they were either raised or trained, you know, from a football standpoint, to have that type of mindset. Hey, man, you're only going to get what you get if you put the work in, basically. And when you have, we see a young player say that, where you see very few and far between right now. But when you see it, that's the guy that has to be upfront in terms of talking to when new players come in into the locker room, if it's drafted or free agency, to say, hey, man, this is how we do things, you know, here at this team. And if you got a problem with that, let's talk about it. You know, how are we going to fix that? I mean, I remember when Charles Woodson came in, and between myself and Rob Davis sitting him, I know Rob Davis sat him down like face to face. I would tease him on the field a little bit just about, you know, where, because we were the same draft class, and I understood where he had come from being at Oakland. It wasn't quite the quality of team. And I say culture that we were at that time. And so I would tease Chuck, you know, I would call him Chuck, bro. You know, he hated that. I forgot. but I would call, you know, Charles, mess with him, because I was getting at him to make sure I knock off these layers to understand that, look, we're all the same here. We all got to put in work. We got to do certain things to help our unit work. I have to do this for a running back to make my offensive side work. You're going to have to do the same for the defense. That means if you got to do something you may not want to do, you got to commit to it and not complain about it and stuff like that. I remember Rob Davis telling me he sat him down and had those conversations, you know, in the years to come after that. And that's eventually where he led to himself to be the defensive player of the year.
I remember I was up there with Tauscher, I think, after like a game. And mm-hmm. I played in Detroit, and he picked off a pass and he scored an interception touchdown. And Tauscher told me something. I forgot exactly what he said, but he said something to the effect was, he's one of the few guys I've ever been around that he's so good you can't consider him arrogant. That's the best compliment I've ever heard. It's like, he's so good, he's not even arrogant. He's
and like, Tosh is a smart guy, so yeah.
That's yeah, when he comment. Says like when he says he's like the best, he's like he is. It's pretty simple. Like, it's a pretty mm-hmm. simple deal. All right, man, let's do some get off my lawn today, because we got some good ones here.
I see it.
Okay, I'm looking at first all one. This. Listen, your guy.
This
your
is funny
favorite,
right here.
Your favorite player in the whole world, LeBron what? James.
No. MJ
comes back. Yeah, I know it's MJ. comes back, and you know, it's just not enough, right? Because they didn't win the game. They lost the game. So then it's like, you know, how'd you come back? And blah blah blah. And he said, well, I was supposed to have surgeries, and I'm the fastest healer that said they've ever seen. And he called the LeBron James, he called the guy, the foot doctor, the LeBron James of feet. You gotta be a special kind of arrogant to start comparing other professions by a standard that you have decided that you've set for your profession. That is awesome. Now, my son did say this today.
Uh-oh.
He goes, I get what you're saying, but if Conor McGregor said that, you'd think it was hilarious. And I said, you know what? You're right. Because I feel like I think fighters are doing a shtick. I think it's like Floyd Mayweather, Conor. I think they're constantly, it's like a shtick. I'm sure LeBron is like playing chess, but I'm thinking he's playing checkers. But I don't think his I don't think what he does is a shtick. I think he's just like dead ass serious.
No,
like,
he's dead ass serious. I believe that. And also, we're in a culture now, the young generation that is the famous generation. I say the famous of the young, or whatever. I get it. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You go to any industry and have somebody at LeBron's age or down that is very successful at what they're doing. They're real easy to say certain things like greatest, like GOAT, the best, or giving themselves like, I love Lil Wayne. Back in 2007, when he was just getting started, he called himself the greatest rapper alive. And I'm like, no, man, you can't do that. Because the rule is you earn it from your peers.
Somebody else has to say it.
Somebody else has to say it. And so kids today, even some of the kids I'm experiencing here and starting to meet for the first time, and even kids back at my other university, they would say things. And I'm like, you can't do that. You can't nickname yourself, or you can't say you're the best of all time. Like, you have to earn it. You got to do the work, and then you get crowned that by somebody else, not yourself.
It's not true.
Well, yes, yes, right? It's just exactly.
Simple. You saying it, that means it's not true. Somebody else got to say it for you.
100%.
And not your mama. Your mama can't say it for you.
Nope.
My son is the best.
And grandma. Nope. Can't do it.
Okay. I got another one for you. So Mel Kiper's on, I think, mock draft 4 now.
I'm with you on this one.
And we got fans out there and the mock drafts, and I get that it's like, I do understand that it's fun, but I don't understand. Like, when you see, I remember I was watching something and they were taking the Northwestern kid, Skronovic.
Yeah.
They were taking him to a team with an all pro left tackle. And I was like, I don't understand. Like, why are we even watching this draft? Why is this a thing? So I wish somebody would just tell me why fans go so nuts over these like different versions. And I guess it just gives you something to talk to about. But I'm like, there's a lot of other cool things to talk about in the world 100%. than this stuff, man. Because like, I feel like I could make one of these in 5 minutes and just put it out. I just keep putting it out there. Like, it doesn't even matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it has become a thing because places like ESPN, NFL Network, CBS, and Fox have their talking heads to have more stuff to talk about. It gives them deliverables for the sponsors, you know, that they're already sponsored by. So they could say, you know, what's his name? Todd McShay, mock draft sponsored by Geico or whatever. You know, that's for us. That's how I see it. I'm like, man, this is like, I don't know if you play a whole lot of it, but I play a little bit of fantasy football. It's basically like fantasy football. It's like, no, it's like, all right, I'm going to put a little bit invested because I know the players. But after that, I'm not going to have a breakdown if I don't start a guy where I should have started him or whatever. I'm just going to be like, oh, I missed it. Oh, well, move on. It's fantasy football. Just like this is a mock draft, which means also a fantasy mock draft.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. You're right. And it's, while it's fun, like what is really fun is, like for you, probably you and me, but I think for a lot of people is to look at tape on a guy or have somebody who has an opinion on that person and, or a narrative and go through it and go, okay, this is why I feel, you know, like get information about people is fun.
Yeah.
And
that's what I, yeah. Same
and
thing.
Whoever you want to get information from, if they want to, are they trying to push a certain narrative? They're just trying to be as objective as possible. Like that's up to the fan, right? It's just like, it's a political thing. Like who cares? So that's great. I just don't get the rest of it, man. The rest, the whole just every daily debate on like the new mock drafts. And I'll never get it because I'm old.
Yeah, we're both old. Yeah.
Did you see this? This is right up your alley. So the next one. Okay, did you see the commercial?
I've been seeing the commercials. They're pretty funny. I
freaking love it. So Ozzy Osbourne, I don't even know if it's from Meta or what, but he's going to be the new
PlayStation VR, 2. Dude. Yeah, PlayStation 2. PlayStation 2 VR, their second VR.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yep.
I'm just going to say this, and you're in the gaming business.
Yes.
If Ozzy Osbourne ever shows up at a convention and he's like, we're going to put him on, we're just going to put a microphone in front of his face.
Oh, that's going to be beautiful.
And we're going to play whatever the latest, you know, shoot 'em game is. I would pay good money. Like I would do terrible things to watch that and like watch whatever comes out of his mouth. That dude is a living legend and everything that comes out of his mouth is solid gold. Yep. And putting him in VR goggles, if his heart doesn't explode,
correct,
would be so great to watch.
You see Ozzy. I see him in the first couple of commercials. Now I'm looking at the one that's on YouTube, a bigger one now, a longer one. And it's like, you're like you just said, is he going to just hilt her over? You know, I want him to be okay and have a fun time VR, you know, doing the VR experience. But to have him, like you said, go, you don't know. He's old. He's at the point of age, which will be one day where whatever I say come out of my mouth, you got to take it for what it is.
Yeah.
You know, you can't stop me. I'm going to say what the hell I want to say. That's where he's at in terms of the age. And whoever does, who is ever in the marketing meeting to say, hey, let's bring Ozzy Osbourne, Sharon, any other people that we feel and we know for a fact that they don't play video games, we're going to put them in our commercials, be in PlayStation, be in Xbox or EA Sports or whatever. I wish I was in that meeting because that's a great conversation.
And the thing is, like,
yeah, pay them a lot of money though.
Do you remember? I remember when they did the Osbourne show and it was on MTV.
Yep, I used to watch it. Okay. I was a fan.
It was incredible, right?
I was a fan. Yes.
Travis Barker did one. Travis, and he had this like wacko, like gold digger wife. Travis Barker's the drummer from Blink-182.
Yeah,
he's done everything now. The guy's amazing, right?
Yeah.
He had one, and he was like the nicest dude, and she was just not.
Yeah.
And then the Osbournes had the show that was, because Sharon was gold, as good as Ozzy was. Sharon's probably as good, not better, right?
Yeah.
The kids were amazing. Everything was amazing about it. But I don't know how these people, like, I don't know how kids, these, like, if I saw that, you know, if I was like my son's age, I mean, my son don't know because I like Ozzy Osbourne, but how do the kids even know who the hell he is? And then you just look at it as like, oh, just some old guy who talks funny and he's hilarious. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. He drops gems. You know, he could say stuff and you just kind of like, what did he say? Like, you might, if you understand him, you know, with his thick, still sound like still drunk accent. You know,
he's like constantly inebriated. He was constantly under some sort of chemical.
Yes. Bonds. And, you know, well, he was a rocker. He was an old school, what, 60, started in the 60s, all through the 70s, early 80s. And now it's transitioned because of MTV into another generation of super fans.
So the story of Black Sabbath, if anybody wants to go watch documentaries, there's a documentary on Black Sabbath that you're just going like, I mean, you can't really.
I'll watch. Yeah, you can't. You just like docs.
Yeah, you can't even believe that you go and he's still alive. Like, there's no. It's just.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's anybody that's a rock star from that time, any group. You be like, how are they still moving? Like, how are they still thinking, functioning, breathing? Because I just seeing stuff, reenactments. You know, movies of other stuff like Spinal Tap. You know, watching movies like that kind of.
That's amazing.
You see these movies like that, and you're just like, oh my goodness, okay.
Did you see John Wick 4, by the way?
Not yet. I'm going to. I started to go last night, but I was a little tired, so I was like,
it's amazing. I won't. We'll talk about it next week. It's amazing, though. 100%. I got one more for you, and this is kind of an interesting conversation. I think that's going to happen in the next couple of years. So, in my opinion, the transfer portal, NIL.
Yeah.
You look at the men's Final Four. Again, I don't follow women's basketball. I apologize for viewers who do. I just don't know who's playing. I just know the Iowa girl dropped 40 last night. Woman dropped 40 last night. Excuse me.
Yeah.
But if you look at the Final Four men's basketball, Florida Atlantic, first-timers. San Diego State, first-timers.
Mm-hmm.
Miami. UConn's the only, I guess you would call, blue blood program. They're a fourth seed. Okay? This is, for me, this sounds like a complete result of transfer portal. Like San Diego State, all their kids are transfer portal kids.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it until I read this. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? That's right. I just realizing that. Yeah.
Yeah. So now you go and you remember very specifically, probably we talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
The kid who wanted the Miami kid who wanted X amount of dollars. Miami guy was like, no, go somewhere else. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But it was a thing, and now they're in the Final Four. And it just makes me it's weird, man, because that shows you a couple things. One, what it really shows me is like the talent level is all of a sudden, the bandwidth and talent has gone it's way tighter than it used to be in basketball.
Yeah.
You know, because all these kids are leaving so early, they're getting the best kids are one and done.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, to me, this is absolutely bananas that you can have that many lower seed teams or not blue blood teams turn, because when I look at college football, because my immediate thing was like, oh, I wonder if this is going to happen to college football.
Right.
And I'm sitting here and thinking it's about already, it right yeah. now, as we say, it's almost the opposite, right? Where we kind of think that NIL transfer portal is going to consolidate all the best players on Alabama, Georgia, Ohio, mm-hmm. like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So where, do you think this could happen? Do you think we could actually, let's just call this flattening the curve in college football because of the, it makes sense. Transfer right. portal, NIL, you're at Nebraska now. Like, what do you see anything like that suggests this might be the change coming?
I say a little change. I say for teams like Alabama, I think they could still stay above water mm-hmm. because of the talent they have, regardless of who takes, you know, what player goes to, you know, what other university to play and start. So I think right now they have the talent. They're going to still stay above water in terms of winning games. But when I got here on campus about 2 months ago now, I, you know, went in, did some research on, we have five collectives, you know, that's what they're called around the nation, collectives. So it's, you know, and you know what they are. It's the booster groups that created, you know, a legal name and now basically has a bank account to throw money at players. And I'm looking through these collectives and I'm looking at players from like small schools, you know, in Texas, you know, just small schools, they got six-figure NIL deals. I saw one old lineman, he had a $600,000 NIL deal. And I'm like, what? I'm like, wow. I'm like, he's if he does right, be smart with his money, he's good. You know, he can put that away right now, being 19, 21 years old, anywhere in that age, was like, I'm just seeing there looking at the levels of NILs they're getting. And I just, of course, devil's advocate, I'm like, man, if I was out right now, what would I be getting as an All-American, All-State, coming to my school, my state university school, NIL? It might be $1 million, if not more. I'm like, this is crazy.
I told Maddox crazy. This morning, we're training this morning, and I said, look, man, this NIL deal is, this NIL thing, you know, because soccer players aren't like, soccer players don't traditionally, from other countries, they don't go to university. They don't go to college.
Right. They go straight to the training ground clubs, right?
Yeah.
Like, at the lower level.
They go from their academy to the pro team.
Exactly. The academy. That's what it is.
They don't have that middleman.
Right.
So the U.S. is still trying to push college soccer. So the women's side's a little bit easier, although there's a lot of – listen to this. I know a 15-year-old that just signed a pro contract, which is insane.
For the women? For the
Barsanis, ladies? Barsanis family, congratulations. Unbelievable. San Diego Waves. Right. So – they're doing it a little more, but you know, traditionally U.S. kids go through the college system. I saw Maddox, I go, dude, in 10 years from now, all of the NIL kids that are any good are going to be making more than a lot of guys are making in the league.
True.
Like in these different sports, and certainly more than like our generation made, at least on your first contract. I mean, it's not even close. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's going to be that. I mean, I think some kids are already probably doing that. I mean, make it.
No, I'm just talking about, you look about across the swath of the entire country, though. There's a hand. Yes, like, yeah. Yes, the quarterback for Texas was making $1 million when he was still in high school. Right. That's why I had to leave. So, gotcha. So like, all, like the two girls from Oregon are making, they just did like an NIL ranking. There's a player maybe from UConn that is like the highest paid guys to make it over $1 million. Then the two girls from Oregon, they're twins. They were in the tournament. They're making $800,000 plus each off of NIL money because they do a bunch of stuff together. You know, and just so it's not just like it's expanding from men's football to men's basketball. Women's basketball is getting, you know, that's $800,000, no joke now.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a girl. She's an LSU gymnast. She makes, I think she's like the highest paid. She might be the highest paid college athlete now with NIL money because she's got like 4 gazillion followers on Instagram or something.
Yeah.
So there, it's not just college football. And so
it's all sports. Yeah.
It makes you wonder, bro. Like it's, I hope that it's an incentive for kids to stay in college longer, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I'm about it, you know?
Yeah. When you think about it, they do it right. You know, get your degree. You have extra, basically yourself in a, in a security set point where you have that degree, you could get a job anywhere, you stay healthy, you get drafted in your sport, or you mm-hmm. go to your Olympic sport and go pro overseas, but you still have that nest egg from your college years now that players can now play with more secure, you know, they play more confident because they know they don't have to basically go out here and try to win the big game right now. I mean, they will. They'll have that little security now, but they don't have to know that if they don't, there's nothing else for them because that's how it was for us.
Yeah, but see, that, so that's the thing. Here's the counter to that argument. The other side of the coin is, how can you be hungry if you're always, if the table's always full?
True. No.
Right?
I agree with that. I agree with that. So for the ones like that, those are the ones that they're going to want, they're going to tell out because they're not going to understand when they're not getting that money and when it, or when it stops, if they don't go pro and they're still trying to live in the state, live in the same town as their university. And because even former players, you know, if you live in the area, you could still get a deal. You know, that's happening with myself right now. Mm-hmm. So, but for those players that don't have that education, or that mom, dad, or brother, sister, or whatever, uncle, coach that puts that in their head, say, look, kid, yeah, you're playing good now, but this could all end because of an injury or you do something dumb off the field or anything like that. Then all it could be taken away. So just be mindful and gotta, you know, get that education. So that's where I know some universities are actually doing between financial literacy and then, you know, teaching them the better way like this. Yeah, you got this money, but still have that hunger to get better and at your sport, at your craft, and what you're an expert as you're learning here at whatever university you're at, basically.
Easy to say, tough to do, certainly, right? And,
exactly.
And I wonder, so I would just take it this way and go, at what age is too young to give these kids money? That, I mean, that's the real question, right? Like, is it, because now, who's to say?
Middle school, elementary, right?
Yeah, okay, sophomore year in high school, you have an option. You can go pro, or you can look down the barrel of, I'm going to go to a tier one school and I'm going to get paid a lot of money. I'm a sophomore in high school. I'm 15. What do I do? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Now it's like, because you're almost, and this is a very rare situation. I'm not saying a lot of kids aren't going to experience this, but you can see how this is going to go into, if it's already happened at the freshman level in college, then it's definitely going to be talked about at the junior and senior level in high school.
Yeah.
And so now we're making these decisions. It's just, man, there's so much to unpack, bro.
It is. I mean, it's already being talked about for the middle school, elementary school level. I've talked to a group that reached out to me through an email about 3 months ago about developing this for kids like 12 and 11 and 10. They reached out to me to be like one of the coaches or something. And I was like, what is this? And I'm like, they said it had, you know, in some of the readings, basically like how these players can get paid. And I'm like, we're talking about 8 to 12. I'm like, oh my goodness. And so, yeah. So it's already being talked about in the South. I know this group was out of Florida. So they're already groups talking about it. So
we just exploit. We exploit, and we justify, don't we?
Yeah.
I mean, we really do. It's a $20 billion. Youth sports is a $20 billion industry annually in the United States of America. That's bigger than the NFL. The youth sports industry is bigger than the National Football League.
Yeah.
Right?
And I just saw something. I was on Instagram this weekend, and I saw a video of Kobe talking about AAU teams. Mm-hmm. Basketball teams, exactly. And he said they're trash because of this. He said they just play a lot of games. They don't develop talent. Mm-hmm. They make the kids basically try to win at all costs mentality without developing their skills and their drive, their ability, and the weaknesses that they do have, because all players are not great players. And then, but they're not getting developed by none of the coaches, none of the programs are doing that to help them. And I agree with that. I have a nephew now, great nephew actually, and he got a full ride to University of Chicago Loyola. Mm-hmm. And he is at home right now. He decided to drop out because he was an AAU kid. And I'm not saying it's not whole directly to that, but potentially it may be because he was traveling just as much as I was. We were traveling. I mean, baseball, as basketball.
As a high school kid.
Exactly. And that was before he was in high school. He was doing this in seventh and eighth grade. So he had been doing it 5-6 years prior to him where it was going to be required, you know, in high school and in college. And now he got to a point where he's out of state, you know, and still, because you're still growing, you know, he's 18, 19. Now he doesn't have that home support as he had with family around him, you know, that then he's going to high school. He's coming home and then going back to the high school. But now you're at a college away from everybody that you, a lot of people you don't have in your life anymore. And then that's where a lot of athletes, as we know, we had friends that did this, that they're not home anymore. This is like, man, this is unknown territory. I didn't think, you know, being in the Navy is going to be like this. Or I didn't think it's being in Lincoln, Nebraska, at, you know, it's going to be like this. I want to go home, basically, mentality. So it's they
don't have the tool set.
They don't have the tool set, and they cripple.
They don't know how to cope. That's why I started this process to perform it. That's why I started the company. I mean, that was literally it. I just saw kids. I saw kids going into the pros.
Yeah.
And they get there and they don't have any help. And they're like, man, they didn't know how to help them. They didn't know how to solve their own problems. Like, they don't even have a process.
And that's what we, our generation has that. Like, I mean, between our parents, between coaches and teachers, the mentality, and then watching the guys that got us excited, like watching the pros playing. Mm-hmm. When we see them do a post-game interview or win the championship, you saw where the excitement was coming from. It was a team thing. They were, you know, patting each other on the back and giving us each other high five. It wasn't just them on TikTok doing something.
Not everybody pulled their phone out to capture the moment.
Doing something individual. Yeah. You know, it's living live in the present. You did this. You didn't do this by yourself.
Right.
You didn't win this championship by yourself. Don't think you did, but everybody else is going to tell you that's outside that little circle of your teammates to be like, oh yeah, you did that. You didn't know. And it's like, and we knew better. You know, my two brothers nailed it in my head by the age of 6, knowing that I was going to wanted to be a running back. They said, you are nothing without your offensive lineman. Remember that now. And if you don't, we're going to beat you up until you do. And that's what they did. So by the time I got to Green Bay, I already knew who was bread in my butter, or butter in my bread, basically. It was you guys up front. And I'll never forget that.
And we love butter and we love bread. That's for damn sure.
AG, yes, you do.
Good show, man. Tell everybody where they can find you, brother.
Man, find me on Instagram and AG30 and Twitter, AG30, all one word. And my Gamers Lounge, Amon Green's Gamers Lounge on TikTok, airing every Wednesday, 11 a.m. If not, jump on my social. Just make sure if I change the date, because sometimes it does do that. So, Mike, let everybody know where they can find you.
MikeWall68 on Twitter, Process to Perform on Instagram. You can check this show out on our Process to Perform channel over on YouTube. Thank you to our sponsors again, BetOnline.ag. Check them out if you want to bet on the upcoming Final Four games. And all right, my man, have a good week. Everyone out there, Packers fans, thanks for listening.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of 1. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. Our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.